The Tuesday morning to you, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ at OffbeatOregon.com, your host for today's daily dollop of the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Since it is Tuesday, this is an archive show, first published as a newspaper column and podcast episode sometime in the last dozen and a half years. Thanks for downloading, and I do hope you enjoy it. This story was first published on March 12th of 2017 under the headline, Did Sir Francis Drake Actually Visit Oregon in 1579? It is a rewriting and re-researching of a much smaller column first published in 2009. Here we go. If Newport resident and British-born historian Bob Ward is correct, Oregon has another name, an older one. Nova Albion. That's the name Sir Francis Drake gave to the spot on the west coast where he dropped anchor for a five-week rest and refit in 1579 during his famous trip around the world. Drake wrote that he pulled his ship, the Golden Hind, into a little bay with cliffs and a creek and a tiny island peninsula protecting it from the surf. Before he resumed his journey of circumnavigation, he claimed the nearby land for England and explored around it a little and built a fort. Historian Ward is convinced that the little bay where Drake spent the summer was, in fact, Whale Cove, and he's assembled an impressive array of circumstantial historical evidence to support this theory. Now, when Ward first started developing this theory, it was very much an alternative view. The historical community had pretty much settled the question of where Nova Albion was, and any lingering doubts had been decisively laid to rest in 1937, when a student brought a mysterious old brass plate found near Drake's Bay just north of the Golden Gate to Herbert Bolton, a distinguished professor at the University of California. The plate appeared to be the one that Drake wrote that he had left to mark Nova Albion back in 1579. Bolton, who had been searching for that plate for his entire professional life, got very excited. He bought the plate for $3,500 and immediately proclaimed to the world that he had proof that Drake's Bay was Nova Albion. Subsequent analysis using the best techniques 1930s science had to offer seemed to authenticate the plate, despite the fact that some of its wording seemed suspiciously modern. For instance, the and this were used rather than the contemporary y and yis. The find confirmed what most scholars believed at the time, and actually what most scholars still believe, which is that Drake's Nova Albion was just north of San Francisco. But in 2002, rumors that the plate was a hoax, in fact a practical joke gone horribly wrong, were confirmed. It seems Professor Bolton was a member of a jocose local history club. Some of Bolton's fellow members, knowing his obsession with finding the brass plate, had made the thing and planted it in a spot where they expected him to find it during a club function, whereupon they expected to have a jolly good day or two stringing him along before giving him the bad news. But somebody else found it first. So, instead of being found by Bolton under controlled conditions, the thing bounced around in the hands of various beachcombers for several years before finding its way into the hands of Bolton's student, neatly scrubbed of any hint of connection to the club. Before anyone from the club even knew what had happened, Bolton had joyfully announced his find to the public and proclaimed it to be genuine. Knowing his professional reputation would be trashed if they revealed what they'd done, the club members kept mum about it. It wasn't the sort of secret that can be kept forever. Nonetheless, it was kept for some 70 years, even after close examination in the 1970s revealed the plate to be a probable fake. But in 2002, when the story was fully told, there could be no further doubt. Exhibit A in the case for Drake's Bay turned out to be a fraud. The field was now wide open. Now, Ward's case for Whale Cove is a particularly interesting one. It's based largely on the similarities between Whale Cove and the map Drake made of the little bay. Ward thinks Drake was on a secret mission to find the Northwest Passage, and that's why he was sailing so far up the west coast. The idea is, Drake sailed up the coast until he found something he thought was the Northwest Passage, perhaps the Strait of Juan de Fuca. but he wasn't prepared to actually explore the passage on the spot, so he sailed back southward, looking for a secure spot to anchor and refit the Golden Hind for the planned continuation of the trip around the world. He sailed south until he found Whale Cove and put in there. A month and a half later, he was on his way home to England via the Far East. Upon his return to Britain, Ward says, Drake and Queen Elizabeth conspired to fake up the record so that Spanish spies wouldn't know how close he'd been to finding a Northwest Passage. This, Ward suggests, is why some documents say the bay was at 38 degrees latitude and others say it's at 44. Drake had planned to return later and explore the passage, but political developments with the Spanish forced him to stay close to home and he never made it back. Now, Ward has spent 30 years and significant amounts of his own money trying to confirm this theory. There have been archaeological digs, ground-penetrating radar, bay dives, stuff like that. Nothing has been found other than an old English coin found decades ago in possession of a native. It should be pointed out that Whale Cove is a notoriously treacherous place to navigate, as at least one rum runner learned to his dismay and to the locals' delight during Prohibition when an attempted booze delivery went on the rocks and left the beach strewn with bottles of scotch. It's also in a very dangerous part of the coast. For Ward's theory to be correct, Drake would have had to sail directly past a number of great natural harbors, Willapa Bay, Tillamook Bay, Nestucca Bay, Depot Bay, just to name a few, and chosen as his sanctuary one of the least navigable spots on the entire coast. Of course, fog may have played a role in cloaking those alternatives from view. Moreover, Ward is not the only one working on an alternative Nova Albion theory. Nehalem resident Jerry Gitson has built an impressively voluminous, if circumstantial, case for Nova Albion being Nehalem Bay, a little farther north. He's even found some artifacts, carven stone survey markers, that might be old enough to be evidence of Drake's presence. And a Canadian, R. Samuel Balfe, has advanced a theory that Nova Albion was actually Vancouver Island, and that the cove Drake dropped anchor in was Comox Bay. The proponents of the California site, naturally, are feeling a little hard-pressed by all this. Quote, "He's working on a fantasy," scoffed a former president of the Drake Navigators Guild in California when he heard of Ward's theory. More recently, the Navigators Guild lent its support to an application to have Drake's Bay designated as a national landmark. When this was approved in 2012, Edward von der Porta, the current president of the Guild, said it was tantamount to official recognition of the Drake's Bay theory. Quote, "We're very pleased the National Park Service has chosen to say yes," he told reporter Guy Kovner of the Santa Rosa Press-Democrat. "Were there any scholarly debate, this would not have happened." That's not what the Parks Department said, though. In an email to Kovner for the same story, Park Service spokesman Mike Litterst noted that the nomination form for the site didn't even mention the controversy over where Drake landed and added, "This should not be interpreted as providing a definitive resolution of the discussion." Probably the best one-line summary of the question of where Nova Albion really was came from archaeologist Melissa Darby in an interview with Colin Fogarty of National Public Radio. Darby at the time was studying the Whale Cove site. Darby says that as a scientist, she doesn't trust anyone who's 100% sure of something that happened more than four centuries ago, Fogarty reported. Key sources in the story included works by Colin Fogarty, Guy Kovner, Edward von der Porta, and back issues of the Newport News Times. That's our show for today. Thanks again for listening. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. More info is at our hub page at offbeatoregon.com. Offbeat Oregon is a division of Pulplit Productions, a boutique publishing house about which more can be learned at pulp-lit.com. Speaking of which, if you enjoy listening to me, you might check out some of my audiobooks. You can find them most easily with a search for my name on audible.com. Most are old pulp stuff. H.P. Lovecraft, Edgar Rice Burroughs, Robert E. Howard, etc. But at least two of them are Offbeat Oregon history type titles. So check them out if you're so inclined. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Episodes of Offbeat Oregon History are uploaded around 6 a.m. every weekday, so the next one will be on your device and ready to go before you know it. Until then, go out and fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye now.